WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
February is National Children's Dental Health Month, and it's a time for us to reflect on the fact that Kentucky has one of the worst rates of caries, dental decay, among children in the United States. Ironically enough, our General Assembly is currently considering a bill that would make fluoridation of water, established science since post-World War II, optional for some communities, and protect those water districts from lawsuits regarding their fluoride decisions. Dr. Emily Winfrey is a faculty member in the UK College of Dentistry. Well, Emily, it's a real pleasure and honor to talk with you again. I know it's been a while, and I wanted to visit with you about two things that are both true and perhaps related in some ways. And one is that we still struggle in Kentucky with having overall some of the worst oral health in the nation. And the current sentiment, I guess, politically across the land and amongst some individuals of being skeptical of what I consider to be established science, and that is that fluoridated water will help with both children's oral health and adult oral health. Can you sort of bring us up to speed on where we are at this point in the Commonwealth?
Yeah, so to start with, thank you for having me back. Very excited to be back here and speaking with you today. It's appropriate that this is during February, as February's Children's Dental Health Month. So it is a time where, particularly in our field, we focus our energies and our efforts on our children. And, you know, it's appropriate because that really is the demographic that is the most impacted by this type of legislation and the decisions and the things that happen when it comes to fluoridation of our community water supplies. So, you know, when we look at the health, the dental health of our children in Kentucky, it's dire. It really is. It's a very, very dire situation for our most vulnerable population here in the Commonwealth. We, in 2023, the University of Kentucky completed one of the largest surveillance studies that had ever been done, and it looked at children ages 2 to 5, so a very young demographic of children, in 106 of Kentucky's counties. So it was fantastic in the span that the survey took, but the results from it were quite startling. We found that our children in Kentucky, our rates of cavities, of decay, of dental caries, all of those are kind of interchangeable terms, but our rate of decay in our children ages 2 to 5 is higher than the national average for those that are living at 100% of the poverty rate. So our children across the board in the state of Kentucky are in a worse dental health state than those across the nation of their peers that live 100% below poverty. So we know that this is due to lots of reasons and lots of factors, but the experience that these children have with their oral care will set them up either for a lifetime and a foundation of success with their dental care, or it will set them up for a lifetime of problems. Because during those age groups, it's not just the baby teeth that we're trying to protect, it's the developing and the forming permanent teeth. And one of the hardest things we struggle with is, you know, when as dentists, is when we come in and see 20 and 30 and 40 year old patients that are facing lots of cavities. Many times we can trace it back to the lack of good dental care as children. And now they're dealing with all of, not to mention all the other problems that they're having with it, but now they're dealing with the fact that the damage was already done when they were younger. So it's a very important time for us, the month of February, to be able to highlight this and emphasize this. And, you know, caries is the most common disease that children experience, school-aged children experience, and it's certainly very severe here in the Commonwealth.
And I guess one thing we need to constantly remind practitioners, you know, dental and allopathic and other types of practitioners across the land, is oral health is systemic health. We're not just talking about our children's teeth. This is something that affects their whole health across the lifespan.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just it's not just the experience of a toothache and a cavity and lost time at school due to pain, and but it's the ability to function, the ability to talk and to smile and to eat appropriate foods. It's the mental health implications of the lack of, you know, of good dental care, and being proud of the smile that they put forth every day. So and as you get older, if those habits are not established early, we see dental health related to so many systemic conditions, everything from heart disease to diabetes to Alzheimer's. I mean, take your pick. We know that that the diseases that happen in the mouth and that are impacted in the mouth affect everything systemically that we deal with.
Is there any type of propagation of education by dental practitioners, by MDs and DOs across Kentucky to educate our patients about this, to try to make things better?
Yes, absolutely. I think when we consider the question of water fluoridation, you know, it is something we get asked about a lot in our practices and the way we approach it. You know, studies are important. They're how we base and make many of our decisions. But, you know, for every study that comes out that says, oh, the rates of this could be dangerous, it could cause problems, you know, we can point to five or six that say, actually, no, it's not. And so one of the best things that we can do is show our patients examples. And we have really good case studies that have happened in recent history where communities have removed water fluoridation. And we've seen the impacts of it a decade later. And we can see them then changing course. So this happened in Canada. They took the water, they voted to remove water fluoridation. And in Calgary, rates went up of decay in their young people went up 65% in a very short span of time as compared to just 10% in communities that had kept water fluoridation. So they turned course and very quickly. And, you know, I think part of the reason why I think this bill in particular is concerning to me is that, you know, this bill has been put forth 9 times, but this time it's gaining a little bit more traction because there's protections for these areas that, you know, they can't be sued if they, you know, whether they decide to keep the water fluoridation or to remove it. And I think that should give us pause as individuals just to say, you know, why is it now gaining so much success when this has never been successful despite the other times it's been in? And, you know, when we talk about the impacts of fluoride, yes, it's great to remineralize and to reharden areas that are weak, but where it has its biggest impact is when it's in those developing teeth. It sets those teeth up to be stronger, for that enamel to be harder, less resistant or more resistant to decay, and to be stronger as they erupt into the mouth. And so it really, that's where it has its biggest effect. And, you know, in the state of Kentucky, we have one of the highest soft drink consumptions in the state. We have some of the lowest per capita dentist rates in the country. So it's we've got so many things that are working against us from a dental standpoint that really prevention is the best thing that we can do right now. Our Medicaid reimbursement rates are low in the dental profession. We've got rural areas and rural communities that have no dentists that within driving distance. Truly, prevention is the best thing that we can do at this point. And fluoride is touted as one of the greatest public health advances in the 20th century. It's a huge return on investment. Even communities as small as 1,000 people will see a return on investment of $32 per person per year on reduced cost of cavity treatment and lost time and pain and during that if they will fluoridate their water. So $32 per person per year saved, even in a community as small as 1,000 people, if they fluoridate their water. So, we're fighting the fight of we want to see especially the most vulnerable in our population, because they're the ones who are going to be impacted by this the most. It's not those that are getting regular dental care. It's not those that have access to fluoride supplements and fluoridated toothpaste and routine dental treatments. Those aren't the ones that are impacted. It's those in our poorest areas. It's those that are most underserved and most in need. And that's the people that we have a heart for, that we are really trying our best to make sure that they have every ounce of prevention that they can get.
Well, Emily, before we part, is there anything else you would want our listeners to know about pediatric oral health and fluoridation of water?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the key thing, try to get those little ones to a dentist as early as possible. So we recommend a dental visit by their first year, and that you repeat that every 6 months. And it sets them up for a lifetime of being excited about going to the dentist and enjoying that experience. And, you know, I think especially when it comes to wanting what's best for your children, I'm a parent. I understand. I understand that desire to want to do the best for your children. But I think the best thing that we can do as parents is do our homework and do our research and really look at what's being told to us and being fed to us in lots of different ways, and make sure that we're being smart about the decisions that we make for our children's health, because the decisions we make for them now will have an impact on them much later on in their life.
And as we often say on this program, look to your trained healthcare professional as opposed to getting medical advice from social media or politicians.
We live in this world, so we see this day in and day out. We see the struggles. We know what happens, and because we see it firsthand in our patients that we care about, and so we were more than happy. Your dental healthcare professional is more than happy to walk through these discussions with you if you have questions, to walk through this with you and help you to understand the science better.
My thanks today to Dr. Emily Winfrey, faculty member in the UK College of Dentistry, for talking with us about our children's oral health and fluoridation of water. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist and professor emeritus at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time covering important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.